Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020. OAOA.com. Front page. Mail-in ballot rules unchanged. OA News at OAOA.com. With an extended early voting period and a greater emphasis on mail-in balloting, the five employees of the Ector County Elections Office are preparing for the COVID-19-skewed November 3rd election. Elections Administrator Lisa Sertouche said Monday that while more people may want to vote by mail this year, the state regulations governing that method are the same. You may request a mail-in ballot by calling the elections office at 432-498-4030 or print and use a mail-in ballot from the office's website at co.ector.tx.us/page/ector. Elections only if you are age 65 or older or are disabled, or if you will be outside the county all during early voting and on election day. Ector County citizens who are incarcerated in the county detention center may also vote by mail. Owing to the pandemic, Governor Greg Abbott has extended early voting by 4 days, scheduling it from October 13th through October 30th, including the weekend of October 24th, 25th. It will be unusual because we have never had this before, Sertouche said. Our early voting locations will be at the Annex at 1010 East 8th Street, Westlake Ace Hardware, Odessa College, and the Kellis Turner Park and Salinas Park Community Centers. We will have 25 vote centers on Election Day. We'll have shields when the voter checks in, and someone will be cleaning the machines when the voter finishes. The election workers will wear masks, and we will provide gloves. We will also have 6-foot markings for self-distancing. With the county commissioners having appointed all the early voting and election day precinct judges, Sertouche said their voluntary participation is indispensable. We really appreciate the judges, she said. We couldn't run the election without them. If you have any questions or concerns, go to our website, come to the office, or give us a call. The elections office is in Suite 200 on the south side of the County Administration or Annex building. Safe visit. Packing canned pineapples into a food box, U.S. Senator John Cornyn, R. Texas, takes his position in the line of volunteers packing boxes Monday evening at the West Texas Food Bank in Midland, Texas. Ben Powell, Odessa American. U.S. Senator John Cornyn visits the West Texas Food Bank by Tony Venegas, T-V-E-N-E-G-A-S at OAOA.com. Midland. As part of his travels across the state, U.S. Senator John Cornyn, R. Texas, made a visit to the West Texas Food Bank facility in Midland Monday to address the response to the COVID-19 crisis in the Permian Basin. Cornyn was given a tour of the facility from the West Texas Food Bank Executive Director Libby Campbell and followed that with a photo opportunity of helping put together food boxes for distribution. Also joining Cornyn and Campbell Monday on the tour were Midland City Councilman Spencer Robnett and Midland Health CEO Russell Myers. Prior to his stop at the Permian Basin, Cornyn had made stops in Abilene and San Angelo. In his remarks following the tour, Cornyn commended the job that the West Texas Food Bank was doing in helping others during the crisis while also discussing the unique challenges that the area faces. We know that we're experiencing a two-front war, Cornyn said. One is the battle to defeat the virus, which is a public health battle, and the other is the economic consequences associated with the mitigation efforts. And I should say that here in West Texas and the Permian Basin, that you're fighting a three-front war with the oil and gas crisis. Today, $60.9 million of federal funding has gone to Midland alone as part of the CARES Act, which was passed back in March. Those funds have been used to assistance to food banks, such as the West Texas Food Bank. One new addition that has been implemented in recent weeks by the food bank is the distribution of farmers to families' food boxes as part of the organization's distribution model. The boxes, distributed by the USDA, have fresh food available to meet the greater demand for food. The West Texas Food Bank has been able to secure about 2,000 boxes a week, according to Campbell. Campbell said that the West Texas Food Bank usually distributes over 500,000 pounds of food a month, and that the organization clocked 1.2 million pounds of food in July to the 19 counties served that cover an area of 34,000 square miles, roughly the same size as Maine. The food bank recently welcomed back a limited number of volunteers to help out after the National Guard had stepped in to help. "This disaster is different," she said. "It's not a hurricane. There's no playbook." Another key provision of CARES Act funding was including an extra $600 in weekly unemployment benefits. That funding has expired as negotiations for a new deal have stalled in Congress. Cornyn addressed that when asked about what he would say to the number of energy workers who have lost their jobs. He said he felt particularly badly for people who, through no fault of their own, find themselves out of work that have been hit by this huge drop in demand for energy. He later added one of the issues he hopes to address is to adjust the $600 number after discovering that some workers ended up receiving more money in benefits than work. "That's not true for everybody, but we want to make sure that we adjust that so where we can replace people's wages, but we don't want to incentivize them to not go back to work," Cornyn said. The rest of the funding distributed for Midland and to purchase personal protective equipment for healthcare and frontline workers during the pandemic, as well as maintain operations at Midland International Air and Spaceport. Myers, that the nearly $17 million in funding that they received is close to the amount of the revenue lost during the beginning of the crisis. "We also acknowledge that there is a ways to go. We still haven't reached pre-COVID levels," Myers said. "Every day, we're reminded how important the CARES Act funding was for the hospital's survival and for our ability to keep our workforce intact." From a city perspective, Robnett added that the funding is making an impact toward the city budget and getting the economy going back in the right direction. "There is a recovery ongoing in the oil and gas business, but all the support that the city receives from the senators and the federal government is what is going to take to turn Midland around and keep pulling us in the right direction. Getting to right direction is going to take some time with no deal in place." Cornyn cited the upcoming election as a key factor as to why talks have stalled. Cornyn is one of those running for re-election against Democratic Party challenger M.J. Hagar, November 3rd. "Right now, since we're so close to the election, unfortunately, Congress was starting to show some of its fraying around the edges of bipartisanship, Cornyn said. "Hopefully, we can check that off and meet that demand." Cornyn maintained that he was also trying to look at things as positively as he could and shared some words that he heard from a citizen during a stop in Abilene Monday. "We didn't know if it would be a few months and then go away or last longer," he said. "Obviously, we know that it's going to be with us for a while longer. But a gentleman in Abilene told me today, think positive but test negative," which I think are good words to live by. Hovind running to be Odessa's mayor, by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. Former District 5 Council Member Javier Hoven, that's spelled J-O-V-E-N, says he's running for mayor because he has a passion for politics and a passion for this city. Hoven has had experience with the city council, having served in the District 5 seat from 1996 to 1999 before resigning. He later ran again in 2010 for the District 4 seat, but lost to Dean Combs. "You can't change things by quitting," he said. "There were personal reasons why I resigned, but when I moved back in 2008, I immediately got involved in politics again, and then I've really been involved in party politics. I've really enjoyed it," he said. Hoven is currently the precinct chair for 204 of the Ector County Republican Party, and although mayor is a nonpartisan elected position, he plans to run as a conservative Republican, he said. Hoven said that he never thought of the council member position as thankless and hopes to change what he views currently as somewhat of an adversarial city council to a city council for the people. He spoke about the city as a corporation and said that Odessans are the owners of the corporation, and he wants them to know that elected officials are working for them. "We need to have our taxpayers not just be a source of revenue," he said, adding that he looks to expand the 3-minute public comment portion of meetings, and said that the council he was a part of had what he called marathon meetings. "It was pretty prevalent. Our meetings would last up to 10, 11 o'clock at night. When you're running a multi-million dollar corporation, you can't run it with a stopwatch, and we've seen that in the last 20 years. A lot of the business is done before you even get to the meeting, and it's being done at subcommittees." Hoven said his style of communication is very open and said that he knows what Odessa needs. "We need this whole world to get going and using the consumption of oil, and we need to get those pump jacks going. So we definitely need to be proactive in promoting our industry and who we are," he said. "We're not going to be Silicon Valley. We're not going to be anything else other than what we are, and that is big oil," he said, adding that he likes the direction of the Odessa Development Corporation is moving with the Permian Fuels America campaign. He said although oil wasn't a focus regarding the diversification mission of ODC to begin with, there's been a stretch of that mission statement, he said, that embraces Odessa's mission. Hoven, who grew up in Odessa, is the owner of A1 Roofing and Framing and A1 Roofing and Construction, and is also the party chief for topographic surveyors in Midland. In an interview with KWEL 1070 AM, Hoven said that he's been thinking about running for mayor for about 2 years and that many Odessans had asked him to consider. "We started seeing city council in 2017 take a dramatic turn when we started seeing the shenanigans going on with Malcolm Hamilton," he said, adding that upcoming election is not just about issues, but it is about a system and that the system that elected Malcolm Hamilton failed. He also spoke about the city needing more police and said there needs to be more recruitment for a better retention rate. "When we start getting into areas of entertainment, recreation, real estate, theater, and such things, then we take away from what we should be doing best, which is security and safety of property and person," he said, adding that that would be one of his biggest focuses. Hoven said in the OA interview that he's supporting everyone who is running for city council and questioned why Mayor David Turner would want to demote himself to an at-large position after he has termed out as mayor. Hoven also spoke about why he had gone to a city council meeting to protest a potential city mask mandate. "I wear the mask. I'm coming to your business. I'm coming here. I'm an invited guest. I'm going to adhere as if I were in your personal home," he said, adding that he didn't agree with anything forced and that it has been divisive and has pulled resources from OPD, he said. Hovind said that he has been raising money for his campaign and said that he hopes to boost the pride of Odessans, whether they are in the oil field of business or not. When we wound up being the premier leader in oil export, everyone was excited about that, and so now we know we can be there, we can do that, and we help national security and the independence of our country, and that's what Odessa needs right now. Who has filed? Mayor Dewey Bryant, Javier Hovind, Gloria Apolinario. District 1, Eddie Mitchell, Michael Shelton, Mark Mata, and Tiki Davis. District 2, Stephen Thompson and Rachel Miner. At large, Denise Swanner, David Turner, Joanne Davenport Littleton, and Latasha Gentry. Election 2020. Early voting is October 13th to October 30th. Visit tinyurl.com/YA8FYR4Q for more information. Election day is November 3rd. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 3,814. Ector County negative, 16,881 out of 20,923 tested, with 228 pending. 60 deaths. Recovered, 3,021. Active, 733. Midland County, 2,888 confirmed cases with 60 deaths. Texas, 542,950 confirmed with 4,476,167 tested. Total Texas deaths, 10,034. U.S. cases, 5,383,125 total confirmed and 169,350 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Blood drive. Save a Life blood drive has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. today. Vitalant buses will be parked on 5th Street, west of the Medical Center Hospital Skybridge. Masks are required. All blood donors will be tested for COVID antibodies at no charge. Sign up online at bloodhero.com or contact Susan Thornton at 640-2347 or sthornton at echd.org. That's sthornton at echd.org. Call for artists. Basin PBS is looking for an artist to paint a mural in the alley of the Ritz Theater, 207 North Main Street, Midland. The call is open to any artist in the Basin PBS viewing area. Andrews, Brewster, Crane, Ector, Glasscock, Jeff Davis, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Presidio, Reagan, Upton, Ward, and Winkler counties. Deadline is August 31st. To apply or for more information, visit www.publicartist.org/call.cfm?ID=2977. Golf tournament benefit. Pioneer Natural Resources will present the CASA 4 Kids Golf Tournament benefiting CASA of West Texas, September 18th, at Ranchland Hills Golf Club, 1600 East Wadley Avenue, Midland. Shotgun starts at 8:30 a.m. Four-person scramble is $600 per team. Sponsorship opportunities available. All sponsorships are tax deductible. Checks may be mailed to 1611 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. To register or for more information, call 683-1114 or visit casawtx.org, casawtx.org. From staff reports. Supporting the Blue, Marco Sanchez and Alicia Macias with ATB recently delivered donuts and cookies to the Odessa Police Department officers. This day in history. The Associated Press. Today is Tuesday, August 18th, the 231st day of 2020. There are 135 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history. On August 18th, 1920, the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, guaranteeing all American women's right to vote, was ratified, as Tennessee became the 36th state to approve it. On this date, in 1587, Virginia Dare became the first child of English parents to be born in present-day America, on what is now Roanoke Island in North Carolina. However, the Roanoke colony ended up mysteriously disappearing. In 1838, the first marine expedition sponsored by the U.S. government set sail from Hampton Roads, Virginia. The crews traveled the southern Pacific Ocean, gathering scientific information. In 1846, during the Mexican-American War, U.S. forces, led by General Stephen W. Kearny, occupied Santa Fe in present-day New Mexico. In 1894, Congress established the Bureau of Immigration. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson issued his Proclamation of Neutrality, aimed at keeping the United States out of World War I. In 1963, James Meredith became the first black student to graduate from the University of Mississippi. In 1969, the Woodstock Music and Art Fair in Bethel, New York, wound to a close after three nights with a mid-morning set by Jimi Hendrix. In 1983, Hurricane Alicia slammed into the Texas coast, leaving 21 dead and causing more than $1 billion worth of damage. In 2009, former South Korean president and Nobel Peace Laureate Kim Dae-jung died in Seoul. Permian Basin weather. 5-day Odessa and Midland forecast. CBS 7, your eye on West Texas. Weather information brought to you by Craig Stewart, Tom Tiefertiller, Lauren Bostwick. Today, mostly sunny with southeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour, high 99, low 73. Wednesday, mostly sunny with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour, high 101, low 73. Thursday, mostly sunny, high 100, low 74. Friday, mostly sunny, high 99, low 74. Saturday, mostly sunny, high 99, low 73. New Mexico outlook. Hobbs, mostly sunny, high 96, low 69. Ruidoso, mostly sunny, high 85, low 61. Fact. On this day in 1988, 22 cities from the Carolinas to the upper Ohio Valley reported record high temperatures for the date. This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, OAOA.com. 60 cases reported at nursing home by Michael Merlo, MMERLO at OAOA.com. Dr. Timothy Benton spoke on behalf of the Ector County Health Department Monday and said that 52 residents and 8 staff members at Deering's Nursing and Rehabilitation in Ector County have tested positive for COVID-19. They have 58 active and have had 2 deaths, he said during a Monday virtual hospital briefing. The health department are very active with them, helping with infection control measures and working through the situation with them, Benton said. Benton also detailed that while there were 244 total new Ector County cases 2 weeks ago, this past week there were 240 cases. Staying steady in the county, he said. Looks like hospitals are staying steady as well. Overall, the trends have been down for a couple weeks. The Ector County Health Department updated their website at 5 p.m. Monday and detailed that out of 3,814 total positive county COVID-19 cases, 2,561 are confirmed positive cases, 1,253 are probable positive cases, and 733 cases are listed as active. While 3,021 people have reportedly recovered from the virus, 60 Ector County residents have reportedly died from COVID-19-related complications. The website also detailed that 228 tests are pending results, 34 patients are hospitalized with the virus, 14 patients are in the ICU, and 9 are on ventilators. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin reported that out of 1,243 positive cases, 29 positive COVID-19 patients are in the hospital, 20 are on the 8th central isolation floor, 9 are in the critical care unit, and 6 of those patients are on ventilators. Of the in-hospital patients, Tippin said that 1 is from Pecos, 1 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Focused Care at Fort Stockton, 4 are from Deering's, 1 is from Seagraves, 1 is from Monahans, 1 is from Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation, 1 is from Buena Vida Nursing and Rehabilitation, and 1 is from McCamey. About 30% of our patient load is from out of Ector County today, Tippin said, adding that 24 tests are pending. Tippin reported 2 COVID-19-related deaths on Monday at MCH. Odessa Regional Medical Center Hospital President Stacy Brown said that out of 2,293 tests, 371 people have tested positive for the virus and 2 tests are pending. She said 5 patients are in the ICU and 3 of them are on ventilators. She said that all of those patients are from Ector County, except for 1 from Andrews. Local news roundup. Man charged with sexually assaulting family member. A 23-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly sexually assaulted his family member. Robert Sawyer Mercer was charged with sexual assault, family violence, a second-degree felony. At 4 a.m. Thursday, deputies from the Ector County Sheriff's Office were dispatched to Medical Center Hospital in reference to possible sexual assault victim, an ECSO affidavit detailed. Deputies reportedly made contact with a 19-year-old woman who made the outcry that her family member had sexually assaulted her. The woman stated she and Mercer were watching television at around 2 a.m. in the living room at their grandmother's residence, which is located in the 2000 block of Flamingo Avenue. The woman stated after about an hour, she decided to go to sleep. After she was asleep for 15 minutes, the woman stated that she was woken up by Mercer, who was rubbing her thigh, the affidavit detailed. The woman stated Mercer sexually assaulted her. The woman reportedly told deputies she became scared, kept her eyes closed, and pretended to be asleep. A SANE exam was given, and evidence was found that was consistent and indicative of sexual assault. Mercer was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 11:05 p.m. Thursday, jail records show. He has one bond totaling $50,000 and was still in custody as of Monday morning. Man charged with stabbing another man in arm with knife. An Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed that a 31-year-old man was arrested after he stabbed another man in the arm with a knife. Michael Duran was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. The reported assault happened around 9:16 p.m. August 5th in the 2200 block of Independence Drive, the affidavit stated. When officers arrived, Kenneth Scott was stabbed in his left arm. Scott was transported by Odessa Fire Rescue to Medical Center Hospital. Scott's girlfriend, identified as Chelsea Rambo, reportedly told officers that her ex-boyfriend, Duran, was the person that stabbed Scott. Rambo stated earlier that day she made a report that Duran had threatened to shoot up her residence. Rambo was in fear for her life, so she was staying at Scott's residence, the affidavit stated. Duran showed up to Scott's residence and began yelling at him and tried to provoke him into a fight. Rambo and other witnesses stated that Scott walked out to protect Rambo. During a confrontation between Duran and Scott, Duran reportedly pulled what Scott believed was a black tactical knife and stabbed him in the left arm. Duran was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 2:49 a.m. August 13th, jail records show. He has one bond totaling $50,000 and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon. OA News at OAOA.com. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, OAOA.com. Board to interview trustee applicants, OA News at OAOA.com. Potentially filling the position 4 spot on the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will be one of the items the board will consider during its 6 p.m. meeting today, August 18th. The gathering will be in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Everyone is required to stop at the front desk, have their temperature taken, and answer screening questions prior to accessing the building. Visitors are required to wear a face mask. The position 4 spot was held by Doyle Woodall, who resigned in June. Woodall had been under fire for Facebook posts that some found offensive. 4 people have applied for the post in lieu of the election in May 2021. They include Chris Stanley, Jesse Christensen, Michaela Johnson, and Jacqueline Loud. A discussion of ECISD opening schools is also on the agenda. School started for everyone August 12th, but most students are attending virtually at this time. Some other items up for consideration include discussion of and request for approval of purchases over $50,000. These include Braco Business and Creative Services for emergency personal protective equipment at $107,346. Region 18 Consulting Services for Texas Reading Academies at $144,000, and Public Impact Consulting Services, a $97,500 donation. Discussion of and request for approval of 2020-2021 Budget Amendment Number 2. Discussion of and request for approval of TEA waiver from the annual financial report due date requirements for fiscal year 2019-2020. Discussion of and request for approval of required waivers to the Texas Education Agency. Discussion of and request for approval of 2020-2021 Gifted and Talented Plan. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, opinion. National political conventions are worth keeping. Joe Biden won't be showing up in Milwaukee for the Democratic convention. Donald Trump may give his acceptance speech from the White House instead of before cheering delegates in Charlotte, North Carolina. Without the customary galas, this presidential campaign will be the equivalent of a birthday celebration without a cake. Not that it really matters, because the conventions, forced to downsize by the pandemic, will barely be recognizable. Instead of crowded, boisterous affairs that lift the participants' spirits, they will be sparsely attended, dull, and generally ignored. National political conventions long ago lost the vital purpose they used to serve, which was choosing a nominee. The major broadcast networks gave up gavel-to-gavel coverage a long time ago. This campaign will prove that the two major parties can live without the bloated, time-consuming, scripted for TV events we used to know. So it may seem time to retire the institution altogether. Writing on the New York Magazine site, Ed Kilgore writes, quote, "As someone who worked in the innards of Democratic conventions from 1988 in Atlanta through 2008 in Denver, I have to say it's past time for these empty spectacles to go away." That would be a mistake. Conventions have been around for nearly two centuries, and they have survived because they continue to serve useful, irreplaceable functions. They are mostly wasted time, but in the same sense that a typical baseball game is mostly wasted time. The moments of meaningful action still matter. It's true that we haven't had a convention where the nomination was not a foregone conclusion since 1984, when Walter Mondale had yet to defeat Gary Hart. The last time delegates failed to decide their candidate on the first ballot was 1952, when Illinois Governor Adlai Stevenson, after a rousing welcome speech, submitted to a draft movement and, after three rounds of voting, got the nomination. The possibility of a contested convention in our time, however, is not far-fetched. In 2016, with a large field of GOP contenders, that possibility was widely discussed. Earlier this year, it seemed plausible that no Democrat would secure the nomination before the party faithful gathered in Milwaukee. In that case, the traditional convention, sidetracked by the pandemic, would be badly missed. Bernie Sanders and other candidates would have had to scrounge for votes via Zoom. But conventions have value even when the outcome is not in doubt. They give the party a chance to spell out its policy priorities, formulate a message for the coming campaign, and change the minds of voters. These events also offer a stage for those with the capacity to inspire. Without the 2004 Democratic Convention, where he gave the keynote address, Barack Obama might be just another senator today. Instead, he found a launching pad for an improbable political ascent. In 2008, it was John McCain's running mate who seized the spotlight. After Sarah Palin wowed delegates with her acceptance speech, CNN's Wolf Blitzer gushed, "A star is born." It was her chance to sell herself to the American people, and she made the most of it, only to be undone by her later stumbles. Sometimes the speakers are revealing in ways that are not so helpful. In 2012, it was Clint Eastwood holding a strange conversation with an empty chair. Without these quadrennial galas, we would not have the priceless 2016 memory of Michael Flynn, who later pleaded guilty to a felony, leading chance of lock her up. Approving a platform is still one substantive function of the convention. This year, the Democratic Platform Committee took a notable stand by rejecting Sanders' Medicare for All proposal. In 2016, Trump's people succeeded in removing language calling for military aid to Ukraine in its war with Russia, foreshadowing his impeachment. In recent decades, parties have gotten weaker, while political action committees and big spending tycoons have gotten stronger. It's not a healthy change. One result has been that outsiders with little or no loyalty to the parties can compete for the nomination, Sanders, and even win, Trump. The conventions are one of the few elements that reinforce the role of parties, bringing like-minded people together for a common purpose. For at least a few days, they also force the party to reach beyond its base and try to persuade relatively open-minded voters. Conventions are one more casualty of the coronavirus, but maybe their absence will remind us of why they're worth keeping. Stephen Chapman. Chapman writes for the Chicago Tribune, as well as being a syndicated columnist. Find out more. Read Chapman's daily blog, www.chicagotribune.com/news/opinion/Chapman. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020. Obituaries and death notices. Obituaries. Dickie Lee Mitchum, Odessa. Dickie Lee Mitchum. Dickie was born in Fort Worth, Texas on April 17, 1949, to Charlie Lee Mitchum and Dorothy Ince Mitchum. Dickie grew up in Brock, Texas, later moved to Kermit, Texas, and eventually made his way to Odessa, Texas in 1964, where he graduated from Permian High School and attended Odessa College, where he met the love of his life, Eleanor. They were married on July 27, 1968, in Odessa, Texas. They celebrated 52 years of love, happiness, and growth with the Lord together. He is survived by his loving wife, Eleanor Mitchum, daughters Michelle Zug and husband James Zug Jr. of Odessa, Texas, Laura Hunt and husband Michael Hunt of Odessa, Texas, sons Adrian Mitchum and wife Kim Mitchum of Edmond, Oklahoma, and Marcus Mitchum of Odessa, Texas. Grandchildren, James Zug III of Lubbock, Texas, Nigel Mitchum of Edmond, Oklahoma, Corey Hunt of Odessa, Texas, Gideon Mitchum of Edmond, Oklahoma, Casey Hunt of Odessa, Texas, Linus Mitchum of Odessa, Texas, and Jillian Mitchum of Odessa, Texas. He was greeted at the gates of heaven by his parents, Charlie Lee Mitchum and Dorothy Mitchum, and brother Danny Paul on August 13, 2020. Visitation will be Wednesday, August 19, 2020, from 6 to 8 p.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church, with the rosary being recited at 7 p.m. A Mass of Christian Burial will be celebrated on Thursday, August 20th, 2020, at 10 a.m. at St. Elizabeth. A private interment will be held by the family. Willie Dean Butler Hooper, Odessa. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. Willie Dean Butler Hooper was born in Waxahachie, Texas, on June 26, 1938, to Ernest and Fanny Butler. Willie, 82, passed on August 11, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Visitation was held on Monday, August 17, 2020, at Martinez Funeral Home, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., a pass-by visitation was held on Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. A celebration of life will be held on Tuesday, August 18, 2020, at Agape Dream Center Church, 1618 East Murphy, Odessa, Texas, at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Mrs. Hooper is preceded in death by her daughter, Sharon Niblett, her parents, two sisters, Billy Thomas and Margie Lockett, and one brother, Julius Tave, Jr. She is survived by her niece, Michelle Walter, of Southfield, Michigan, her niece, Jacqueline Johnson, of Detroit, Michigan, and Demeryl Kevin Mitchell, and great-great-nephew Kevin Mitchell II of Augusta, Georgia. She will be missed by Hazel Thompson, Mark and Daisy, Mary Johnson, her friend for over 60 years, Pearl Ward, another friend, Susie Hodges, and many other friends. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Agape Dream Center Church, 1618 East Murphy Street, Odessa, Texas. Please indicate, in memory of Willie Lucy Hooper, Homeless Ministry. Danny Mac Zant, Odessa. Danny Mac Zant, age 75, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on August 12, 2020, in Ward County, Texas. Graveside services will be at 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 19, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Danny Mac was born March 3, 1945, to Lonnie A. Zant and Mildred Eileen Zant in Abilene, Texas. Danny attended college at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. He married Mavis J. Zant May 11, 2000, in Hilda, Texas. Danny is preceded in death by his parents, Lonnie and Eileen Zant, father-in-law Macon Henry and his wife Evelyn Henry of Texas, stepson Danny Ray Light of Odessa, Texas, brother-in-law Leon Henry and wife Sylvia of Louisiana, nephew Brian Holbrook of Texas. He is survived by his daughter Michelle Zant DeAngelis and her husband Jonathan of California, Whitney Zant and her husband Mark of Texas, stepdaughter Laverne Herrera and husband Ernesto of El Paso, Texas, stepdaughter Christy Light of Midland, Texas, sister Sarah Hoon and her husband William of Texas, sister-in-law Gwen Boyd and her husband Kirby of Texas, sister-in-law Jan Holbrook and her husband Vaughn of Texas, grandson Nicholas Herrera of El Paso, Texas, nephews Jeffrey Hoon of Texas, Charles Boyd and wife Elizabeth of Texas, David Boyd of Texas, Jonathan Holbrook and his wife Francesa of Texas, Johnny Leon Henry of Louisiana, Josh Henry of Louisiana, nieces Ashley Hoon of Connecticut, and Angel Hennigan of Louisiana, Tiffany Kring and her husband of Louisiana. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death Notices. Jose Angel Armendariz, Odessa. Jose Angel Armendariz, 90, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 15, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, August 18, 2020, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Family has opted for private cremation to follow as means of disposition. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Billy Ray Pruitt, Odessa. Billy Ray Pruitt, 77, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 8, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 19, 2020, at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Reggie O'Neill is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Donald Jefferson Frink, Odessa. Donald Jefferson Frink, 63, died Saturday, August 15, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, etc. Microneedling for skin care. Dear Dr. Roach, do you recommend microneedling for skin care? N.E. Answer. Microneedling is used to help treat cosmetic issues of the skin, such as scarring, including scarring from acne, irregular pigmentation, stretch marks, fine lines and wrinkles, sun damage, and other forms of damaged skin. The damage caused by the needle sets up a healing response in the skin that causes regeneration of skin cells, similar to the mechanism of chemical peels. Approximately 80% to 85% of people are satisfied with the results of the procedure. 4 to 6 sessions, spaced a week apart, is the usual regimen, but there are many protocols for microneedling. A session typically takes 20 or so minutes and is not covered by insurance. Risks include temporary pain and redness, but permanent scarring is unlikely. Some people, 18% in one study, will get darker skin after the procedure, called post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, which tends to lighten over time. I am cautious about cosmetic procedures and feel it isn't my place to recommend them. For microneedling, I would say that the risks seem to be low and that most people are satisfied with the results. To your good health, by Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, man pines for wife who left without giving an explanation. Dear Abby, my wife left me a little over 2 years ago, and I can't seem to get over it. All she said was that we had an emotional disconnect. I don't believe she was unfaithful. All I can think about is being with her, and I cringe if I think about her being with someone else. I'm a professional with a good career and pension, and I have been approached by some nice women who would like to date. How can I get over my feelings for my ex? Lonely in the plains. Dear Lonely, have you been getting out and participating in leisure activities since your wife left? That would be one way to get your mind off her, because sitting around thinking about her is counterproductive. Your ex should have been more specific about why she left. Understanding would have helped you start to really heal. Because it has been 2 years and you haven't been able to work this out, please talk with a licensed psychotherapist. Your physician or your health insurance provider can give you the names of qualified professionals. Please don't wait to ask. Dear Abby, my daughter just informed me that she will be hanging a deer head in their living room. Her live-in boyfriend loves to hunt, and she is doing this for him. Just thinking about it makes me physically ill. My thoughts turn to a dying animal who is suffering. My husband and I gave my daughter $12,000 to buy this home. I want her to rethink her decision based on the fact that this disturbs me. Not that I'm trying to push her around because we gave her this money. I know she will take it personally and be upset at me. Help. Uneasy in Oregon. Dear Uneasy, I think we both know your daughter is an adult and entitled to make that decision without worrying that her fellow's hobby bothers you. We don't have to like it or approve, because what's upsetting you is the idea that the deer suffered. Ask your daughter or him how many shots it took to take the creature down. If it was more than one, you might be happier entertaining them in your home. Dear Abby, my wife and I retired 5 years ago. I have adequate savings and an excellent pension for us to live comfortably. I took up a hobby 3 years ago that generates about $5,000 in annual income, which I put aside in a separate bank account. My wife asked, "What are you saving that money for?" I said, "Maybe a classic car, helping with a family reunion on my side, etc." She responded, "We need to be on the same page about how it gets spent because half of it is mine." When I reached out to my son for his insight, he sided with her because legally half of what I have is hers. I have no problem consulting her on a major expenditure coming out of our other savings, but on this one I feel she is controlling and petty. Your thoughts? Hobby in California. Dear Hobby, I agree with you. Not only that, but she also lacks tact.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun and moon in Leo. Happy birthday for Tuesday, August 18, 2020. Emotionally deep, enduring, and a realist, you face challenges head-on and overcome. One of the few to do well during the lockdown, you'll succeed beyond your wildest dreams when it is over. Finances will be especially good. If single, you search carefully for your mate, and you'll find him or her this year. If attached, your bond is super strong and you are an invaluable helpmate to your partner. Pisces adores you. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Changes and surprises take a turn for the better in matters of the heart. A sudden attraction shines the light of love on Aries natives who've been lonely. Today might even promise bliss concerning a special someone. Tonight, the courage to speak. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Family and home expenses certainly affect your finances. Budget conservatively. Do not tie up funds in any kind of risky venture. Changes brewing at work can make some adjustments necessary. Tonight, apparent coincidences may be the universe's way of propelling you forward. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Relieve the daily grind by working in a new location or taking frequent breaks. Add variety to your job by working on several different projects at once. Tolerating inevitable change at work is important to your success. Tonight, more time with the children. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. Real wealth involves enjoying what you already have. Avoid lamenting what you lack. Devote yourself to diligently enhancing your earning powers. This plan will lead you to future prosperity. Write a wish list. Tonight, write a second wish list if money were no object. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Your energy level and enthusiasm are at a peak. Your workload feels lighter and more rewarding. This dynamic trend leads to much accomplishment. Focus on your priorities. Remember to keep your irritation to yourself. No one wants it. Tonight, take a special someone out on a date. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. You're ready to release old memories and emotional baggage. Self-love and self-acceptance strengthen as a result, and you feel truly grateful. This opens new doors. A stronger sense of confidence develops. Tonight, congratulate and celebrate yourself. You do a little dance. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. A cycle of new goals and dreams develops. Longtime friends can float away and a new social circle emerges. New membership in a group or professional association or organization influences your future. Tonight, thinking of what you'd like to do in this organization. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 1 star. There can be some stressful situations professionally. Resist the temptation to indulge in criticism and sarcasm if annoyed. You might inadvertently upset others more than you realize. Frustration and anger must be directed toward making constructive progress. Tonight, recovery time. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 3 stars. Today is very favorable for your intellectual development and expanding philosophical insights. You will solve puzzles and acquire information. Your vitality is high, and you will feel physically warm. Stroll outdoors to celebrate. Tonight, take a soothing herbal bath. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 3 stars. Today emphasizes casual friendships and career prospects. Deep roots related to old times are stirred. Follow the advice of Confucius, who once said, "If you would divine the future, look to the past." Tonight, talk deeply with an old friend who really knows you. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 2 stars. Others are ornery and a bit argumentative today. Focus on tolerance and cooperation. A partner has definite plans and ideas involving you. Listen to suggestions. Compromise is key. Bless a commitment. Tonight, date night with your partner or another loved one. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 4 stars. There can be breakthroughs and turning points regarding your health today. Control stress. Be patient and pace yourself while working toward fitness goals. Heed subtle signals sent by your body, and all will be well. Tonight, an early bedtime with a good night's rest. Born today, actress Shelley Winters, 1920, baseball player Roberto Clemente, 1934, actor Robert Redford, 1936.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.